from time to time, something can be right in front of you and you still can't see it. This was a lesson that was imparted to me when I was a kid. I'm about to date myself. I was in fourth or fifth grade when the magic eye images began to be popular. So if you aren't familiar, magic eye images, when first viewed, look a lot like a random pattern of colors and shapes. But in each image, there is a 3D illusion waiting to be seen. That is, if the viewer can focus or maybe unfocus their eyes in the right way to see it. I remember the first time that I saw one of these images, I, along with several of my classmates, were told about the 3D image, and then I stared at the green and blue pattern, trying to discern what was there. I crossed my eyes even, thinking that that might work. It didn't. And so I just kept looking at this picture, hoping to see what was there. But I just couldn't. One by one, my classmates figured out how to shift the focus of their eyes in a particular way, and one by one, they were rewarded with the 3D image. Each person who saw it would then begin to describe to me what it looked like, but I still couldn't discern anything other than the random colors and pattern that was, and I was left wondering what all the fuss was about. I think that our experience with God can be much the same as my first experience with magic eye. Occasionally, we miss the ways in which God is standing right in front of us, gently leading us forward. Or our eyes can be blind to the ways that God shows up around us, surrounding us so that we are never alone. As the very loud patterns of the magic eye image draw your eyes to focus there and stay there, the chaos and pain of the world draw our focus, and we miss the good that God is up to, working in and around and through us to put order to those forces. Some can't see God because they have never been shown. Something that we're reminded of in the story from Acts today, as the Apostle Paul meets the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. Over the past few weeks, we have followed Paul's story as the early church begins to take shape after the resurrection. 2 weeks ago, we met Paul for the first time when he was still called Saul, and he was still a potential threat to the new Christians. God interrupted Saul's journey to Damascus, shifting his focus dramatically and ushering in a new way of being for him, even choosing to rename him Paul. From there, Paul begins to travel, speaking about his experience and proclaiming the news about God. And then after being imprisoned and released after an earthquake last week, we find Paul walking around Athens this morning, talking about Jesus and the resurrection to anybody who would listen. He's approached by the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, wondering what he's all about. "May we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? It sounds rather strange to us, so we would like to know what it means," they asked. These are people who worship many gods, always interested in new ideas and the novelty of a new god. And while it would be tempting to denigrate their religious practices, instead Paul shows them how to see God in their midst. And it doesn't hurt that he starts with a compliment. "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way," he says. "For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. The unknown God that you have been worshiping," Paul says, "is the God that created this all. The God that made you and me, a family bound together with God for all eternity. A God who lives among us, not far apart or looking down from on high or contained in shrines and monuments made by human hands. Instead, this is a God who completely surrounds us. In him we live and move and have our being. Your entire life, Paul says, is wrapped up in this living God who raises people from the dead. Sort of like those magic eye images. The God Paul describes is there all along, just like the 3D image. It just takes a shift in focus to see it. A few years ago, a friend of mine was with his family after his aunt's death. Her family had been with her through a quick and ugly battle with cancer, and then they were gathered together to remember her life. As a Christian, my friend wondered how to talk with his cousins and his cousins' children about death and loss, because they did not either, they no longer believed in God, or they had never been introduced to God at all. I listened as, with tears in his eyes, he recounted sitting with his family after the funeral when one of his cousins' young sons said, "She may be gone, but I'm glad I got to spend time with her because she loved me." This was my friend's entree to talk about God with his family, to be able to say that he understands God to be love, which means that he also believes God has been present in his aunt's love for her grandson. Like Paul, he could use something that they already knew to shift their focus from only what they could see to what exists in everything, to see what is already there. Because that's all that we really do. We don't bring God to anyone, nor do we do anything to will God's presence. The disciples who traveled from nation to nation to make disciples never did bring Jesus anywhere because Jesus was already there waiting for them. They simply needed to show people how to see differently. God is already wherever we go. We simply point to that reality. My friend's cousin, who had never been to church, had never known God, had encountered God and not known it, because he had been loved. Love that is the core of who God is. Love that moves and grows. Love that does not leave us alone. Love that carries on even after a loss. Love that is already there. Love that is here, present with us. Love in which we live and move and have our being. Love that surrounds us as we go about our days and fills us with the Spirit. Love that makes us part of a family, regardless of whether you can shift your vision to see it or not. And yet God often finds a way to make sure that we do see. God sent Paul to the Epicureans and the Stoics. God places us in community so that when one of us forgets or does not know how to see, the others are there to show and remind. God sends us, showing the world the God who created us all, the God who is already loose in the world, putting order to chaos, creating love where there is absence, and continually raising us from the dead. The God in which we live and move and have our being is here and there. And sometimes we just need to shift our focus to see it. But God is still there, even if you can't do that.